Ave Maria Radio.
Radio for Catholic and other Christians. This is 990 WDEO, Ypsilanti, Detroit, or on the internet at WDEO.net.
Hudson, welcome to Church and Culture. This show is devoted to exploring the interaction between our faith and our culture. Each week, I will talk with expert guests on topics ranging from literature, art, and music to politics, liturgy, spirituality, and education. Thank you for joining us. Sounds familiar. It's because you're a fan of Mannheim Steamroller, and there are many extremely successful music recordings over the years, many of them Christmas albums. And that particular lovely, lovely tune is entitled The Traditions of Christmas, and it was written by the founder of Mannheim Steamroller, Chip Davis, who founded the group in 1974, and then in 1984 began releasing a series of Christmas albums which have sold tens of millions and really have become part of what we might say the canon of Christmas music. And that's what we're going to do today on Church and Culture. We're going to listen to a kind of Christmas album of Church and Culture. And I hope that you'll hear some things that are new to you, perhaps familiar, but a different kind of recording style. Most of all, I hope you'll enjoy the music and be moved by it in the way I have, because I chose it. So I'd like for you now to enjoy some Christmas music from the world of film music. You'll probably recognize this if you've ever seen the movie, the 1959 movie Ben-Hur. You will remember one of the opening scenes, the Star of Bethlehem. Pretty sure our listeners have heard that music before, because I'm pretty sure that you've seen Ben-Hur at least once. You may not know the name of the great composer, the Hungarian composer, Miklos Rozsa, who composed that, as well as familiar films like Spellbound, The King of Kings, Quo Vadis, El Cid, another great movie with Charlton Heston. A Thief of Baghdad and Lost Weekend. Now, if you like that music from Ben-Hur, you can always buy a soundtrack, but you can also get a very special recording that was made a few years ago with Eric Kunzel and the Cincinnati Pops Orchestra at the Morbid Tabernacle Choir entitled Three Choral Suites. They took the music from Ben-Hur and two other Rozsa films and made them into beautiful, you know, really almost sacred choral suites. And that's available on Shandoz label. Oh, no, excuse me, on the Telarc label. Now we're going to change the mood a little bit. Of course, there are many moods to Christmas, and we have to remember that not all of them were as uplifting as what we just heard in Rozsa's Star of Bethlehem. But here's a what has become a traditional Christmas carol, even though it was written in the 20th century, based upon a poem written by Christina Rossetti for an American magazine in 1904 called Scribner's. The music is by the composer of The Planets, Gustav Holst, and was first published in 1906 in the English Hymnal. So listen to the bleak In the Bleak Midwinter, performed by Robert Shaw and his chamber singers. By Christina Rossetti, music by Gustav Holst, who's famous for writing The Planets. And these words are some of the most beautiful in all of Christian hymnody. I'll read you the final stanza. What can I give him, poor as I am? If I were a shepherd, I would bring a lamb. If I were a wise man, I would do my part. Yes, what I can give, I give him. Give him my heart. Beautiful song, beautiful lyrics, beautifully performed by Robert Shaw and his chamber singers. Now we're going to actually hear a Christmas poem by a former poet laureate of England, Sir John Betjeman, who is a traditional kind of poet, but as you'll hear in this poem, was not above raising questions and doubts about matters of belief. We're very lucky to have this recording from the very famous English actor who died way too young, Robert Donat, who won an Academy Award in 1939 for Goodbye, Mr. Chips, but also known from Hitchcock's The 39 Steps and The Count of Monte Cristo. And in his waning days, as he was dying, he did poetry readings. And in those poetry readings, he emphasized religious poetry and particularly Christmas poet. And here is his reading, that is Robert Donat's reading of a poem by Sir John Betjeman entitled Christmas.
My next choice is written by John Betjeman. How easily he seems to build a slender, tender bridge between the tinsel and the starlight. And it's called Christmas. The bells of waiting Advent ring, the tortoise stove is lit again, the lamp oil light across the night has caught the streaks of winter rain. In many a stained glass window sheen from crimson lake to hooker's green. The holly in the windy hedge and round the manor house the yew will soon be stripped to deck the ledge, the altar, font, and arch and pew, so that the villagers can say the church looks nice on Christmas Day. Provincial public houses blaze and corporation tram cars clang. On lighted tenements I gaze where paper decorations hang, and bunting in the red town hall says, Merry Christmas to you all. And London shops on Christmas Eve are strung with silver bells and flowers, as hurrying clerks the city leave to pigeon-haunted classic towers, and marbled clouds go scudding by the many-steepled London sky. And girls in slacks remember Dad, and oafish louts remember Mum, and sleepless children's hearts are glad, and Christmas morning bells say, Come, even to shining ones who dwell safe in the Dorchester Hotel. And is it true? And is it true, this most tremendous tale of all, seen in a stained glass window's hue? A baby in an ox's stall, the maker of the stars and sea, become a child on earth for me. And is it true? For if it is, no loving fingers tying strings around those tissued fripperies, the sweet and silly Christmas things, bath salts and inexpensive scent, and hideous tie so kindly meant, no love that in a family dwells, no caroling in frosty air, nor all the steeple-shaking bells, can with this single truth compare, that God was man in Palestine, and lives today in bread and wine.
That was the British actor Robert Donat reading a poem by Sir John Betjeman, poet lord of England in the 70s, entitled Christmas. And you won't hear a poem better read than that. But you gotta love the line, and hideous tie so kindly meant. But we're going to change the mood now, because it's been a little somber up till now, and it is Christmas after all. So I'd like to play for you now an orchestral piece by one of my favorite composers, Frederick Delius. He was an English composer who spent many years in the United States as a young man, but also years in Norway studying under the great Edvard Grieg. And while he was a Grieg student, he composed this, entitled Sleigh Ride.
Thank you.
That was Sleigh Ride by the English composer Frederick Delius, who Sir Thomas Beecham, who conducted this performance, called the last great apostle of romantic beauty in music. And you caught a whiff of that in the lovely theme that follows the obviously bell-ridden sleigh through the snow. And those of you who are listening to this in the snow, and we'll have snow for Christmas, maybe even a sleigh ride, can remember Delius's Sleigh Ride and perhaps even look it up for yourself. It's a wonderful piece to play around the tree. Delius is someone who meant a lot to me over the years, and I'm glad I got a chance to share some of his music with you. Now we're going to move to a German Christmas carol and lullaby. You probably know it by the name Still, 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 which means hush, hush, hush. And it's used as a lullaby for the Christ child. It was written approximately 1865 in Salzburg in Austria. And this performance is particularly wonderful because it was recorded in the 80s by a group of the best German opera singers in the world and really in history, including Fritz Wunderlich and Hermann Prey. You listen to the wonderful harmony of these great voices on this Deutsche Grammophon recording of Still, Still, Still. Isn't it amazing what great voices can do with well-known music, music that you've heard before, maybe many times? This particular Austrian carol, Still, 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 Hush, 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 performed there by a group of opera singers at the time, all recording for Deutsche Grammophon, including Fritz Wunderlich and Hermann Prey. And that recording is, and a number of other wonderful things are available on a Deutsche Grammophon recording entitled Christmas Album. And I strongly recommend that if you want some more Christmas music, maybe some, bought over downloads, iTunes or on Amazon downloads, take a look at that particular album. It's entitled Christmas Album, and it's made available by Deutsche Grammophon. Now we're really going to change the mood a little bit. We all have our favorite pop music recordings of Christmas carols. Some are better known than others. Now this is from what may be the best known of all Christmas albums, and that's the Nat King Cole Christmas album that contains his famous Chestnuts Roasting on an Open Fire, the wonderful Christmas song written by Mel Torme. But I've always been partial to this particular cut on the album, a song entitled A Cradle in Bethlehem by Nat King Cole.
Till angels say Amen. A mother tonight is rocking a cradle in Bethlehem, while wise men follow the dark, a star that beckons them. A mother tonight is rocking a cradle in Bethlehem. A
That was Nat King Cole from his famous Christmas album singing A Cradle in Bethlehem, which was written by Alfred Bryan and Larry Stock. And let's move to another rocking carol, this one sung by the irrepressible English singer, actor, composer Anthony Newley, the rocking carol. It's a carol of Czech origin, but Anthony Newley makes it sound very, very British, the rocking carol.
Little Jesus, sweetly sleep, do not stir, we
We will rock you.
That was the distinctive voice of Anthony Newley, British singer, actor, composer himself, famous for singing What Kind of Fool Am I from Stop the World, I Can't Get Off, singing the Rocking Carol, a Czech carol that was first collected in 1928 in the Oxford Book of Carols. So if you're looking for any of these songs, if they're new to you, take a look at the Oxford Book of Carols. And we'll be playing some more Christmas carols from that book, from the Oxford Book, and from other collections. I hope you're enjoying this as much as I am right after this break.
On the next Cresta in the Afternoon.
Our topics during Cresta in the Afternoon toggle between church teaching and then using that teaching to shine a light on our world. We'll look at Christ and culture, church and world, religion and public life, from abortion to Zechariah and everything in between. Biblical criticism, Hollywood productions, academic debate, family and love, prayer and spirituality.
Cresta in the Afternoon from 4 to 6 on 990 Ave Maria Radio.
It's time for Family Man with Dr. Gregory Popcha.
Want better behaved kids? Here's a simple tip to instantly correct almost any inappropriate behavior. Instead of lecturing or wasting time developing increasingly strict or creative punishments, use do-overs to help your child learn to speak and act more appropriately on the spot. For instance, if your child speaks disrespectfully, insist they choose better words in a better tone and make them say it again until they express themselves well. Another example, if your child does a chore sloppily, require them to start over from the beginning as many times as necessary until they can demonstrate they know how to do the chore to your expectations. You don't need to yell. Let the do-over do the talking for you. And when they succeed, remember to compliment their effort. Good discipline teaches kids what to do instead of just telling them what not to do. For more tips to make parenting easier, check out Parenting with Grace. I'm Dr. Greg Popcheck, but you can call me Family Man.
To discover more ways faith can enrich your life, visit CatholicCounselors.com.
If you've enjoyed Father John Ricardo's gift of teaching and preaching in the past, his new book, Heaven Starts Now, is the book for you. In his inspiring and incisive way, Father John addresses the obstacles we all face in becoming mature disciples. How do we learn to forgive? How do we combat fear and understand suffering? How do we worship the Lord, love others, and surrender our lives to God? How do we become saints day by day? Order online at AveMariaRadio.net under the store tab. That's AveMariaRadio.net under the store tab.
Welcome back to the Church and Culture Christmas album, if I may be so bold to call it that. We're listening to a group of wonderful recordings of Christmas carols, both familiar and not familiar. The next one is for you Irish out there who have been waiting something just for you. This is the Wexford Carol, which comes from County Wexford in Ireland, particularly from the area now called Inniscrone. It's a beautiful carol going back to the 12th century about the Nativity of Jesus Christ, which is, of course, Christmas. Here is the Wexford Carol sung by the Clare College Choir of Oxford.
Thank you.
That was the Clare College Choir of Oxford singing the Wexford Carol of Irish origin. And you notice this college is one of the choirs that does not have women singers. It has boy trebles. So that when you heard that, the, you know, that the light fall high soprano sound in the second verse began the night before that happy tide, those were boys singing as trebles before their voices break. And, of course, when their voices break, they graduate up to the baritone of their bass section. Now, something for you country music enthusiasts, which isn't quite country, but it's sung by a man who's well known in that musical genre, and that's Glen Campbell. He's singing the what has become a fairly well-known Christmas song, Little Altar Boy, which was a hit in 1962 when it was recorded and released by Vic Dana. It's a beautiful song, but I really like the way Glen Campbell sings it. Here it is, Little Altar Boy.
Altar boy, I wonder, could you pray for me? Little altar boy, for I have gone astray. What must I do to be holy like you? Little altar boy, oh, let me hear you pray. Little altar boy, I wonder, could you ask our Lord? Ask him, altar boy, to take my sins away. What must I do to be holy like you? Little altar boy, please let me hear.
Little Altar Boy was made famous by Vic Dana in 1962, but there had been a number of very good recordings, including that one by Glen Campbell, but also a wonderful one by Karen Carpenter, which I promise we'll listen to next year. Now a Welsh tune, a Welsh hymn, which has become a Christmas song all through the night, very famous as a lullaby, and has had many notable recordings, but this one by the Mormon Tabernacle Choir, I just think, has tremendous clout. The Welsh Lullaby All Through the Night, sung by the Mormon Tabernacle Choir. Thank you. turned that gorgeous lullaby down. That was famous all through the night, a Welsh lullaby sung by the Mormon Tabernacle Choir. They have a wonderful way of arranging familiar music so that it you really hear it for the first time, I think. Here's a song that you'll probably recognize from somewhere, but not really know what it is. It's entitled Walking in the Air, and it was part of a animated film called The Snowman from 1982, based upon the book from 1978, The Snowman, by Raymond Briggs. This particular song has tremendous, lilt and loveliness, and belongs in the Christmas canon of hymns and carols. It was written by a very well-known and living English composer named Howard Blake. And you'll notice it's being sung by a treble, that is, by one of these choir boys whose voices has not yet broken. This is the original recording for the film The Snowman from 1982, Howard Blake's Walking in the Air.
Lying!
Walking in the Air, which was a song he wrote for an animated film, The Snowman, based upon the book of the same name, and it was performed by the St. Paul Cathedral's treble, Peter Autry, and has had many recordings since. It was even used in a 2010 television commercial, which is where you may have heard it. But we're going to go to what is arguably the most beautiful of all Christmas carols, and I know that's ridiculous to say, but let's just say it's my favorite. It's a French carol from the 17th century, which we know by the English name, Whence Is That Goodly Fragrance Flowing? And I'll read you the first stanza. Whence is the goodly fragrance flowing, stealing our senses all away? Never the like did come a blowing, shepherds in flowery fields of May. Whence is that goodly fragrance flowing, stealing our senses all away? This is sung, it's again by the Mormon Tabernacle Choir. Now, I hope you'll notice how the choir master assigns different parts of the music to different parts of the choir, the sopranos, soprano and altos, the bass, the tenors. It's a beautiful arrangement of this French carol, Whence Is That Goodly Fragrance Flowing?
Is that goodly fragrance flowing?
Wow, that's really beautiful. That's the Mormon Tabernacle Choir singing, "Whence Is That Goodly Fragrance Flowing?" And that's from a Telarc album of Christmas music by the Mormon Tabernacle Choir. And if you like it as much as I do, it's out there. It's available. And I hope you'll get it and enjoy all the other great performances on that album. They're all as rich and lovely as that. We have to have a piece from the Messiah, but I'm picking this particular aria, the Every Valley Shall Be Exalted aria, the famous one for the tenor, because of the performer, the wonderful Canadian tenor John Vickers, who recorded this early in his career with the conductor Sir Thomas Beecham. You will never hear Handel's Messiah sung with this kind of ardor. Every Valley Shall Be Exalted. John Vickers. That was the Canadian tenor John Vickers, who went on to become the greatest Wagnerian singer of his generation, and by the way, was a devout Christian as well, singing Every Valley Shall Be Exalted from Handel's Messiah. There are moments in the recording studio where I think special things happen. And this particular recording of O Come, O Come, Emmanuel with Robert Shaw and the Atlanta Symphony Orchestra and Chorus is one of those. I've heard this recording many times. It was first released 25 years ago, and I still think it's one of the finest recordings of any Christmas hymn at any time. I think something very special happened in the studio while it was being recorded. It's in the arrangement by Alice Parker. So let's listen to O Come, O Come, Emmanuel, performed by Robert Shaw. this magnificent recording of O Come Emmanuel, played by the Atlanta Symphony Orchestra, sung by the chorus, and conducted by the great late Robert Shaw. I hope you've enjoyed this hour of Christmas music, the Christmas album of Church and Culture. Another great hour in store, a wonderful guest. Please join us after this short message.
Message brought to you by the Catholic Biblical School of Michigan.
When we read Scripture, we may think of it as a place of information and history, and not as an instrument of God to help us transform our lives. But the letter to the Hebrews describes God's Word as living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart. This teaches that God's Word is not passive, but it's active, living, and involved in our lives and in our hearts. This should give us courage and hope, because sometimes our lives and hearts have wounds, bad habits, or fears. God's Word can help us to break those habits, heal our wounds, and give us the weapons we need to fight in our battle for salvation, and thus overcome our fears. If you want to learn more about the power of God's Word in your life, visit the Catholic Biblical School of Michigan on Facebook or on our website, cbsmich.org.
Her 105th birthday is Christmas Day. She was delivering communion and lecturing until she was almost 100. Her name is Dorothy Denemy. Hi, this is Peggy Stanton. Dorothy will be my guest on Power from the Pews this Saturday at 11 a.m. and Sunday at 9:30 a.m. on Ave Maria Radio and AveMariaRadio.net.
This is Henry Root, your host for Putting On the Mind of Christ. Each week we go into the Ave Maria CD library. We pulled on a talk or two to see what our Lord might have to say to us. Most of these talks are recorded at area gatherings and conferences. Most of the speakers are nationally known. The topics are varied, but they are all centered on the Lord, and they all are worth your listening time. You're back for Mass. It's not yet dinner time. Why not sit back and join us? Be fed on the Lord. Listen this and every Sunday afternoon at 3 for Putting On the Mind of Christ on 990 WDEO in the Metro Detroit area and 1440 WMAX in the Saginaw Valley. Putting On the Mind of Christ is brought to you by the Ave Maria Communications Guild.
Ever heard the phrase parental rights and thought to yourself, but what about the children? Don't they have rights too? Today on Homeschool Heartbeat, guest host Joel Gruey talks with Mike Ferris about the connection between parents' rights and children's rights.
Mike, tell us about the relationship between parental rights and children's rights. Are they antithetical to each other?
To get oriented in a correct answer to this question, we have to know what rights are. The term rights describe the relationship between a government and a citizen or an individual. In a family situation, you have duties, you have responsibilities, and rights in a legally enforceable sense are really not the correct orientations. There's duties that can be breached and there's legal consequences for the breach of duties, but a duties and responsibility system is much different than a rights responsibility. So vis-a-vis the government, children, yeah, they do have rights. If they get arrested for shoplifting, they have the right to a fair trial. They have all kinds of rights. They have a right to a parent that the government can't take from them. The problem that we see is that the children's rights movement isn't interested in protecting children from the overreach of government.